For those of you who have been here before, Vincent doesn't need an introduction. He has been very kindly coming in and teaching us about different aspects of prayer. And today he's going to be talking about Gregory Palamas and Theoleptes.
Theoleptes, right.
And their, some of their writings on the Nativity. And very much looking forward to what you have to say. Thank you.
Well, I'm very happy to be with you again. It's almost been almost a year. And when Mother emailed me to ask me about possibly giving a talk, since it was in December, I began to think about the Nativity and how I always feel as we draw close to the Nativity, that so much of the Nativity, of what the real meaning of the Nativity is, seems to pass us by, that that it doesn't get the credit it deserves. And even though all of society is thinking about Christmas and so on and so forth and whatever, that even among Christians, even among Orthodox, while we go all out for Pascha, and in so many wonderful ways, yet when it comes to the Nativity, which is the foundation of everything, a lot of times it's a much quieter thing. And do we really fully understand all that's being said? And so, I thought to myself, well, I've heard a lot of lectures or a lot of homilies on the Nativity. Wouldn't it be nice, since we already talked about a prayer and noetic prayer, wouldn't it be nice if we could have a master of prayer talk about the Nativity? And I thought, well, where can that be found? So that's kind of the heart of this talk. It's entitled Two Hesychast Reflections on the Nativity of Christ, St. Theoleptes of Philadelphia and St. Gregory Palamas. I should have probably also added, with a little help from St. Maximus the Confessor, because he's really the foundation. And I'm going to begin with a quotation from St. Maximus, and then we'll leave St. Maximus alone for the most part. But that this quotation will underlie everything that both Theoleptes and Gregory have to say about the Nativity. So here goes. For it was fitting for the Creator of the universe, who by the economy of his incarnation became what by nature he was not, to preserve without change both what he himself was by nature and what he became in his incarnation. For naturally, we must not consider any change at all in God, nor conceive any movement in him. Being changed properly pertains to movable creatures, that is to say, created beings. This is the great and hidden mystery, at once the blessed end for which all things are ordained. It is the divine purpose conceived before the beginning of created beings. In defining it, we would say that it is the preconceived goal for which everything exists, but which by itself exists on account of nothing. With a clear view to this end, God created the essences of created beings. And each, and such is, properly speaking, the terminus of his providence and of the things under his providential care. Inasmuch as it leads to God, it is the recapitulation of the things he has created. It is the mystery which circumscribes all the ages and which reveals his grand plan, the grand plan of God, a super infinite plan infinitely pre-existing the ages. The Logos, by essence God, became a messenger of this plan when he became man, and, if I may rightly say so, established himself as the innermost depth of the Father's goodness, while also displaying in himself the very goal for which his creatures manifestly received the beginning of their existence. This is from his text called Questiones ad Thalassium, number 60. Tremendous amount of meat in there. And hopefully our two authors will help explain some of that. So I began this quotation from St. Maximus for two reasons. Firstly, both of our Hesychast authors under consideration, St. Theoleptus of Philadelphia and St. Gregory Palamas, stand in the theological and spiritual lineage of St. Maximus the Confessor, who is often called the father of Byzantine Orthodox theology. Indeed, St. Gregory acknowledges St. Maximus almost at every turn in his writings. And secondly, it is itself a magisterial summary of the full scope of the patristic and hesychastic understanding of the meaning of the incarnation of the Logos, which we celebrate in the Nativity. So this talk will be a brief examination of a pair of discourses on the mystery of the Nativity of Christ by these two authors, who are saints and their hesychasts and archpastors. St. Theoleptus was the Metropolitan of Philadelphia at the time of his composition, and St. Gregory Palamas was the Archbishop of Thessalonica when he wrote his homily. Both saints are also closely linked spiritually. They both were monks in Monathos before they were consecrated bishops and appointed to their respective sees. Furthermore, they knew each other. St. Theoleptus was a generation older than St. Gregory. Both of them followed, as I said, a similar spiritual trajectory. Early in their life, they became monks who lived in Zenobia. Then they moved to a more eremitical life of solitude. Both resided on Mount Athos for a time and became profound hesychast adepts and masters of prayer. Then they returned to the world, became bishops of major cities in the Byzantine Empire, where they both exercised a highly effective pastoral ministry through ethical and spiritual leadership, preaching, and writing. See, this is the point. As pastors, as bishops of large cities, they would have in their congregation people of all walks of life, children, adults, old people, young people, educated, uneducated. And so here they are, as pastors, they're going to be following the liturgical cycle of the church. And they're going to be giving homilies on them. But as men, they are masters of prayer. They spent years and years in the eremitical life, so they are masters of Hezekiah. Now how do people like that give homilies on things that we come across in the yearly cycle? That's the idea of these two men. What are they going to say, and how are they going to say it, and will they be giving insights that we don't normally get in a typical homily, say for Christmas or for the Nativity? So it's very interesting for us that the lives of Saint Gregory and Saint Theoleptus intersect. They intersect each other at the spiritual level. St. Theoleptus was an early influence and even a spiritual father to St. Gregory. St. Gregory himself bears witness to this influence in his great work written in the heat of the Hesychast controversy of the middle of the 14th century, the Triads, in defense of the Holy Hesychast. This is what he says. Quote, "But why do I refer to saints of past times?" He has been arguing for the legitimacy, the traditional legitimacy of the art of prayer, of the Jesus prayer, of the belief that you could experience the uncreated light, you could experience have the vision of God in this life against attacks. And he's been using other people. So he's already talked about Saint Simeon, the new theologian, and Saint Nikephoros, the hesychast, an Italian, by the way. He said, "For shortly before our own day, men of attested sanctity, recognized as endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit, have translated these things to us by their own mouths. You've heard of Theoleptus, whose name signifies inspired by God, and who is recognized in our day as an authentic theologian and a trustworthy visionary of the truth of God's mysteries. The Bishop of Philadelphia, or rather, he who from Philadelphia, as from a lampstand, illumined the world." You can find that in the Philokalia, Volume 4, page 341. This is high praise indeed from the great Gregory, who himself is praised by the Church as, quote, luminary of the Orthodox faith, teacher and support of the Church, splendor of monastics, invincible champion of theologians. It's from the service of the Saint, second Sunday of Great Lent. So, probably, or undoubtedly, the details of St. Gregory's life will be far more familiar to you, to most of you, than will that of St. Theoleptus of Philadelphia, who's really rather an unknown saint. So before going into their teachings, I will give a brief accounting of their lives, especially a little of Theoleptus's. St. Theoleptus was born at Nicaea around the year 1250. At first married, in 1275 he separated from his young wife and became a monk after spending much time in nearby monasteries. On 16 January 1275, the union of the Eastern and Western churches, worked out in the Council of Lyon in 1274, was solemnly proclaimed in Constantinople. Theoleptus and the monks of Nicaea were publicly and vociferously opposed to this union. And so St. Theoleptus was arrested and brought before the emperor as a fierce young monk. And he continued to express his views in an uncompromising way, and so he was beaten and thrown into prison. But he was soon released. After leaving prison, he withdrew into solitude for 8 years, which included time on the Holy Mountain, which may be where he met St. Nikephoros the Hesychast, who was probably the author, most scholars think now, of the text, The Three Methods of Attention and Prayer, which is attributed to St. Simeon, the new theologian, and found in Volume 4 of the English Philokalia. Since St. Theoleptus was an early spiritual father of St. Gregory, and St. Nikephoros was a teacher of St. Theoleptus, that makes St. Nikephoros the spiritual grandfather of St. Gregory of Palamas. So we're talking about a spiritual line here that's very active and very powerful, which culminates in the hesychast flowering of the time of St. Gregory of Palamas and afterwards, where there were several patriarchs in a row who were also hesychasts. Patriarch Philotheos Kokinos, a hesychast himself and a spiritual disciple of St. Gregory Palamas, writing in the encomium for St. Gregory, this was after St. Gregory's death, had this to say about St. Theoleptus. Gregory received these and other teachings from Theoleptus, that truly famous luminary of Philadelphia, who moved on, or rather went up, from sacred Hezekiah and community of the Holy Mountain to assume the leadership of the church at Philadelphia. Theoleptus was elevated to the Metropolitan of Philadelphia as Metropolitan of Philadelphia in 1284. After the union was ended, and after the death of Emperor Michael VIII, who supported it. All bishops who supported the union were deposed, including Patriarch John Bekkos. Theoleptus then held his post for nearly 40 years, through a time of much political schism, or political problems, Arsenite schism, theological turmoil, which we can't go on, we can't deal with here, we won't have enough time. Suffice it to say, he was famous as a great archpastor who, with his moral leadership and spiritual integrity, and also the loftiness of his spiritual teaching, was a shining light. The reflection on the nativity of Christ, of Theoleptus, are taken primarily from his monastic discourses, recently published. These are a series of discourses, letters, and homilies directed to the monastery Philanthropos Soter of Constantinople. It's a women's monastery with a men's one associated with it, sort of less a double monastery, whose abbess was a former Byzantine princess, Irene Evlogia Chumnina, and Theoleptus' spiritual daughter. He tonsured her a nun in 1307 after her husband, the son of the emperor Andronicus, died, and he cared for her and her monastery for the rest of his life. Now, the details of the life of St. Gregory Palamas are, of course, much more familiar, so we won't go into great detail. Briefly, he was born in 1296, brought up in Constantinople in a distinguished family with close ties to the imperial house. His father was a friend to the emperor Andronicus III and the tutor to the future Andronicus IV, who was a boyhood playmate of St. Gregory Palamas. At the age of 20, in 1316, Gregory traveled to Mount Athos and spent the next 20 years in monastic seclusion and hezekiah. In 1335 and 36, the so-called Hesychast controversy flared up. It began with attacks by Barlaam the Calabrian and others on the reality of the uncreated light and the now traditional Hesychast methods of practicing noetic prayer in the heart. Gregory became the main spokesman and protagonist of the Athenite fathers and produced some of his and the Orthodox theological tradition as a whole finest works, including his triads and defense of the Holy Hesychast and the so-called Hagioritic Tome, which are included in the Philokalia. A series of councils was called to address the issue, 1341, 1347, 1351, and Gregory was totally vindicated, by final and decisive vindication. On Hesychast prayer, direct experience of God in this life, the uncreated light, and especially the theology of the essence and the energies of God. So in 1347, Gregory was consecrated the Archbishop of Thessaloniki, but he could not enter and take over his see until 1350 because there was a civil war going on. Again, one of the things that we can't go into, but it's interesting to know that both of these men had to deal with, you know, major political issues as well as social issues in their archpastoral work, and they still had to maintain their mindfulness of God so that they could be masters of prayer and leaders of their flock. And that's what's fascinating to me about the whole thing here.